Hello, everyone. I'm Corey.
I'm Eric.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Alec.
And this is the Youtini Avatar Show, a proud partner of the Youtini Network, where we are discussing Avatar, The Last Airbender on Netflix. Now, this week, we are taking a look at Episode 6, diving deep into Zuko's complex past, the budding possibility of an unexpected friendship between Aang and Zuko, and finally, we get a good look at the real reason for Zuko's banishment. We'll explore the daring prison break, the questions of what could have been, and the strategic maneuvers to stay hidden from ever-watchful eyes. Thanks for tuning in, and if our tales of loyalty and friendship resonate with you, then please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Now, before we get into this week's conversation, we do have to thank our sponsor, the United Patreon Community. Head over to patreon.com/Youtini to see everything that our community has to offer. Stay tuned for more details about that later in the show. All right, guys, let's hit it. I am ready to talk about maybe the best episode of the season, maybe period. This episode was so freaking good. I was jacked up the whole time. This was Fire Nation. This was Zuko. This was a lot of changes from the original series, but maybe all of them done really, really well. Gut reaction, did you guys get as jacked up about this as I did?
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude. Sorry, that pause was because I thought I didn't know if you were going to call on somebody. I missed you guys last couple weeks because peek behind the curtain, everyone. I was tired. Like, straight up, I was just completely exhausted and had to care myself. So I forgot how this podcast works. But no, this episode rocked. Easily the best one so far. It was so much fun.
I think I can say here, Eric, you've said it multiple times, and I think I fully agree with you now. The Fire Nation is the best casted, best acted, best written in the show. And we have had episodes where the Fire Nation side of things has carried it. You know, I'm not saying that it's a complete disservice to the other nations, but I think we can all agree here the show's pretty good and the Fire Nation carries a lot of it.
They are fire, as the kids say now. That's why they say it. All of Gen Z loves Avatar and they love the Fire Nation.
So, yes.
Caitlin, what about you?
I'm shooketh.
Shooketh?
Yes, I am
shooketh. To the coreth?
Yes. No, I loved... I seriously loved the episode. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just need to talk about it.
Let's break into it, man.
I got to tell everyone, though, the text that was in our Slack channel after this, Kate was, like, weeping. After this episode, I know you're handling it, but I got to tell everyone, like, I hadn't seen it yet, and I just got the notification that's like, we watched the episode, we're a mess, and I'm like, can't wait.
Yes.
I was like, get ready to cry.
You know, yes, another behind the curtain, we really didn't have a lot of time to, like, prep. You know, we're doing a double-double recording. I think we've had, about 3 days or so? Like, I have binged as much Avatar as I can. I think I've watched both episodes now. I try to do my thing again where, like, I'm doing three watches. Like, I'll watch once just to watch. I'll watch once just to watch, and then I'll watch the second time to, like, write down, like, what's happening throughout the episode so I can keep, like, a good timeline to myself. And then I'll watch it the third time where I'm, like, writing in different thoughts, trying to get, you know, deeper and kind of looking at the past animated series. But I know, Eric, you only watch it, like, once, right?
I only do once. I'm one and done. That's kind of how I do a lot of stuff because there's so much to watch, especially. Like, yeah, did I see Dune 2 four times? Absolutely. But that's an event. TV shows, it's rare that I do multiples. So this podcast is like my rewatch because as you guys talk about it, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually watched it almost twice. Almost twice. And then I also rewatched the old series because I wanted to see how it compared, and I was pleasantly surprised.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they really stick to the original animated series in this episode, like very, very strictly.
Yeah, I think it's very clear we were all really jacked up about this episode, and I think the strongest reason for that is honestly Fire Nation awesomeness. I want to talk about Zuko especially because Zuko was, in my opinion, the absolute MVP star of this show.
Yeah, spoilers for the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
We got a
awesome origin story for Zuko, if you will. And it's very different from the animated show. Quite different. We got to see a huge fight between Ozai and Zuko that was awesome. But this was different, and I wanted to ask you guys, what do you guys think about, you know, I think Zuko's sort of hero journey, his redemption arc is I've said this before, is my favorite, maybe the best one in animation, period. Zuko's redemption arc is. And, you know, this seems like this live action show is really setting up a maybe different version of that redemption arc. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think about this new backstory? How do you think it's going to impact the sort of redemption of Zuko? Alec?
I think he's a lot more likable early on. You know, I don't think that his mm-hmm. redemption is coming from as deep of a place of kind of hatred, you know, for a character than I had when I watched the animated series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see him, honestly, in a good way in the live action. He's younger. He feels like more of a kid that wanted to impress his dad and wanted to do good. And kids, I think, for the most part, inherently have more compassion, which was Zuko's whole thing. And that was kind of a shift. And I'm glad they kind of leaned into that to say, no, this guy was a compassionate kid that wanted to do right and thought his dad was obviously leading that charge. So it's a little less of a leap for him to get to full redemption, which I think also benefits the shorter episode count as we go further. So I didn't mind it at all. I think that also in the animation, having Zuko more straight angry lends better to like his violence style, which is much more high flying, angular, bam, bam. Like you can do a little more. But I think this was a really smart adjustment. And who's the kid that plays Zuko? Dallas, is that his name?
Yeah, Dallas.
A lot going on behind the eyes as he's talking to in a really beautiful way. I think he's playing it perfectly.
Yeah, I saw a really good comment online that talked about kind of the difference in performance for like pre-banishment Zuko and like, you know, modern angry Zuko, and like they don't really seem like the same person. Like you can see, I don't know, he was all like, all excited about going to the war council meeting. I'm just like, oh no, yeah. Oh no. Like, as soon as that happened,
he couldn't get his spikes right, and he's like,
I know,
I'm not dressed right.
I was, buddy.
Uncle had to help.
I was kind of surprised. Like most media, when you see like a prince or a princess or something, like when they're getting dressed, they have like a team of people around them that like dress them every day. And this one's more just like, yo, Zuko's just like putting on his clothes like everybody else, and Iroh's helping him get ready for school, you know?
Yeah.
And man, did he get schooled.
Yeah, yeah, he did. It was really awesome. You know, we got to see almost that entire scene in animation. That's really one of those interesting moments that it looks like they kind of completely retold. And it was a little different the way it happened in animation. I honestly liked this better, I think, actually. It was more thought out, it was more depth to it. It was. You know, I really loved that. You know, they brought in this whole thing with the 41st was really cool. Like, and that was really, really good storytelling. And to circle that all back around as a B plot later on to find out that, you know, it's Zuko's troops on his ship.
I'm pretty sure that is a plot that is told in some of the comics or some of the later media.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
cool. It's not. Wow. It's not like original, but it is something that was omitted or maybe not even thought of when the animated series was made.
Yeah, they had, honestly, when we got to the point where the soldiers find out, and then when Zuko returns, they all give him like the salute, right? It gave me really.
Oh, that's when I cried.
Oh yeah, it brought me back to in the Clone Wars when Ahsoka is going past the clones that all have her symbol painted on the 332nd.
Yeah, right.
Like, clones, attention, the general's here, and it's the same kind of thing of when she's welcoming back. I'm like, man, the prodigal son coming home and the soldiers saluting. It just gets me, man. It just gets me.
The hero's welcome. Yeah.
Yep.
Gotta love it.
Really well done.
It was very, it brought me back to the days where we were watching Band of Brothers on repeat, Corey.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so emotional.
I cry every single time I watch this show. Every single time. I watch it at least once a year. Band of Brothers really gets me. But yeah, I loved all that. The war council was awesome. The way that he argued with the general and he's like, it's a bad plan. You're gonna sacrifice all these people. Like, it's horrible. And
I liked how Ozai seemed to like, he commented on it a few times. He's like, you're soft like your mother.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing that the animated show didn't really touch on as much, is that Zuko is very much like his mother.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's also one, is that the first comic, Alec? Is it the Zuko? Does he look for his mom? Does something involving Zuko's mom is one of the comics?
Yeah, it is.
Like,
okay. It's a whole thing in the comics. That was like one of the main things they told in the comics, I believe, was that Zuko finds his mother and everything. And Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting turn of events. It was slightly different than previous, and you know, I think the fight with Ozai is quite different. I want to ask you guys about that because, you know, we didn't get a fight with Ozai in the original series. This was new. You know, it seems like the story is a little bit different. So I wanted to kind of get your gut takes on that, like, because the main difference, it seems like, is that in the animated show, it's almost like Ozai punishes him because he's a coward. Like, he doesn't want to fight him, remember?
Yeah.
But in this show, it was more like he did fight him, and he almost beat him, actually.
Yeah, and he restrained.
Mm-hmm. He restrained, and there's this whole line about, like, compassion and everything. Like, that's the weakness now. That's different, and...
I don't know. That's kind of the same message of, like, being a coward, of, like, fight me and actually throw a punch.
I think it actually does interesting work for... like Ozai's character.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because like, in the animated show, there's that scene where, you know, he turns around and he notices it's his father. Oh no! And then he goes like, "I won't fight you. I'll fight you." And then you just hear him basically yell, "Ah!" And then like the screen kind of goes, and then we see the scar. Whereas this, I thought the biggest difference here was that we saw Ozai very slowly bring his hand in, like, to burn him. He's like, "I'm intentionally scarring you to teach you," and I think that. For me, I think it made Ozai a little more brutal, almost, to be like, the fact that he thinks also he's doing the right thing for his kid, he's like, this is tough, he's a very tough love parent, this is for your own good, it kind of is sadistic in a little more of a way.
Oh, it's definitely sadistic. It reminds me of the cult books I read. Like, this is a straight-up cult leader, and I mean, this is what the Fire Nation is.
It is.
It's a cult.
I like the storytelling device as well, that, you know, like cowardice, like I don't think any of us would ever really have thought Zuko was a coward, right? Like this, so I like this kind of shaping, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to start this conversation off by talking about the redemption arc is because, you know, I think all of us watching who are normal people and not, we're not evil firebenders, right? We see compassion is obviously not a weakness, right? This is a great strength, it's a great human strength. And I think that sort of helps his redemption arc much more than like, oh, he just didn't want to fight his dad because you didn't want to fight him. You know what I mean? He was scared and that sort of thing. So
worked a ton. Worked very well.
Yeah, this development of Ozai and sort of increasing changing our portrayal of Ozai is one of the most creative and interesting things I think this live action show is doing.
Fucking zaddy Ozai! Oh my goodness! He's like, seriously. All right, time to fight! Boom! And I'm like, jeez,
he takes his cloak off, whatever, and he's jacked. Okay. That was pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie. What do you guys think this changes about our sort of understanding about Iroh at this point? Because we've talked a lot about Iroh on this show, and you know, I think he's turning out to be one of the strongest characters, which is fitting with the original series as well, I believe. But we got to see Iroh in much more of a father-like figure to Zuko throughout all of this. I thought it was very interesting, right? It's not just their friends, and he was there for Iroh after Lutin died, but, like, you know, he was there to fix his uniform. He tried to convince Ozai not to go through with it multiple times. Yeah. Like,
he tried to protect him from when he was healing. He came back in and said, he's not ready to talk to you.
He did. What do you guys think about that, Eric?
I like where it's going. I think that, I mean, Iroh was always protective in the animated show, and I think we started off with him a little more jovial in the live action, and now this really got to see, like, his more jovial ideas are because he's already done the protecting. He's really trying to live Zuko's spirits because I think he sees this child that is on the brink of, if he gets pushed too far or if people are too mean to him at any point, he could either become his father or shut down completely. And I think this episode did a really nice job of Iroh balancing with Zuko and then Iroh balancing with the Fire Lord, which I think are two different things.
What does Iroh say to his brother? He says, like, he will heal, but he'll never be healed or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and he's like,
yeah. That was a good line. I don't remember what
he'll
it was.
Recover,
he'll
but
never
he'll
heal.
Never
that's
heal.
What.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that line right there just tells you everything you need to know about how Iroh, you know, really cares for Zuko and how Ozai just kind of sees him, you know, maybe as a means to an end or, you know, as like a legacy piece for his own, You know, like Ozai sees Zuko as more of a reflection of Ozai than he cares about Zuko as a person, you know?
Yes. Yep. I mean, we see that with Azula too. Like Ozai sees his children as achievements and as tools and as weapons. Like everything is based in his own thought, and Iroh is the one trying to pull out their own identities as he can. And I think with Azula, he realized I'm not going to be able to do that, and she doesn't want that, yeah. You know. That's but right. Zuko, there's still a chance.
Now, speaking of Zuko, we also got the return of the blue spirit mask. Oh. Which was fantastic in the animated show. I remember the first time you see that guy and he's got the dual swords and they like, remember they fit together
sheath
and they come apart. It was so
cool. Yeah, anime magic weapons. It's like, oh yeah, and then they click and then they fly and then like.
Yeah. They were so cool in the original series. How did you guys react to getting the mask back? I mean, this is one of those things that may not have translated super well into animation, but it pretty much worked for me. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, the motivation was the same. You know, it wasn't exactly scene for scene, but that's about as close as you're ever going to get. I mean, that was
sure.
I went back and watched the original, and I was blown away at how close it was. The story is just as strong.
Caitlin, you just watched it too. Did you have any insights from? That was literally you watched like an hour ago.
I did. It was they actually got the scenes almost identical. It was like shot by shot, almost identical.
That's cool.
There were a few things that they couldn't translate, but like him getting on that little cart thing from underneath and the wheels to transferring inside of it. How did they not notice him? I don't know, but he like those shots were identical. Yeah. And even their stilts trying to escape the walls, like those were even identical. The one thing I did notice was they made the archers women.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I didn't realize it, but they're men in the animated show.
Yeah, the archers are. That's true.
They're doing a really good job with just like naturally putting in representation in the show. Like a couple episodes ago, when I last talked to you guys, we talked about the two lovers were women now, and like these being women, like again, just putting it in when it's like, oh yeah, we need more women here, and it just do it and move on. Like it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a way to
they're
do
good
it.
Shots.
100%.
That guy when it smacked him in the dome, I was like, gee! Like that was a visceral hit.
What do you think about getting more into now Admiral Zhao's storyline?
Yeah, let's hit it. It's like developing pretty crucially. I feel like he's getting ambitious.
I got really like big frat bro kind of feelings when he's like, "Let's sell, live, brain."
I did too.
got promotion. It's Friday. My direct deposit hit. Let's rage it up at Alpha Kiwi Avatar Pi. Like,
I think that's actually why I went back and watched the animated show because I was like, was Zhao always like this? I don't remember this. Like his little scribe that comes in. He's like, write that down. Yeah. Write that down.
Yeah, I didn't. I forgot that was a thing. And he does have like he gets super cocky. When as soon as he gets the avatar, like he stops being super focused, and he's just like, "All right, you know what, bro? I'm king of the world. You just wait till everybody hears about me.
Yep.
You just wait till Ozai finds out because I'm the greatest."
I know, and he's writing it all down, and he's gonna have him send it. Especially, he's like, "We got it. He's all tied
up. In the
by
history
his,
books
by his hands and his
ankles.
Feet. Make sure you get that."
Yep. Yeah.
I've
played Zhao since he. He came on. I think his first episode, I was really impressed by him. And I think that as he's gotten more to do, I think he's really sinking into the power corruption. I think it comes very easily to him. I like that he's like, well, now I'm an admiral. And I didn't you're on my ship. And of course I'll accept your help, bruh. You want to go, bruh? Like, he very much has this cock of the walk attitude.
I think the main difference that I've noticed with him is that in the animated show, he is supposed to be like a very strong warrior, and he has a lot of like experience as a warrior.
Right.
And in this show, it's very much like, you know, I don't know. He's just been like the leader of like a a station, you
he
know?
Failed, like, he failed out of officer school.
Yeah,
right?
Like
he didn't make it. And
we don't see any of him fighting anybody. Like, he's much more of a mental strategist than he is like a competent warrior in the show.
Yeah, he's a road cop that got appointed under sheriff and is like, I'm real big deal now. And it's like,
I know. I like his, you know, I think his mannerisms are something else that's quite different. His visual appearance and his mannerisms are very different than the original animated show, but I'm totally with you. Like, it works for me. I think it's a fun, creative change that, you know, I was a little weird about it at first, but now I'm used to it, and I actually really dig it now.
I definitely crapped all over it the first time I saw his character.
So, I remember that. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's no, funny. I've gotten used to it, and, it's the same thing. Like, we talked about the other episode. Like, once you know what to expect going into something, you can really, really appreciate it more, you know? So, yeah, Zhao's like that for me. I've gotten used to it now. I know what to expect, and his character works really well with the story, so.
I totally agree. The last thing I kind of want to mention about that whole thing, too, is that prison was, like, scary. Like, it was all CGI, of course, but, like, it looked really good, it looked really scary, and they captured the whole energy of, like, this place is impenetrable really well. Like, Iroh said something about that earlier on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why he's going there, is because he knows he'll try to break in, and he'll capture you as well, right? Like,
I have one other thing here, too, and that's, so Zuko is not getting any support from his dad at this point, right?
So that's what it seems
like.
But Ozai, so Ozai knows that the Avatar is back. He knows that he gave his son a mission that he has to capture the Avatar or he can't return and he'll remain banished. So what do you think of the choice from him to, instead of reaching out to Zuko to give him the support, to give him the men, to give him, you know, anything that he needs to make this happen, he's immediately like forgotten that his son exists and what the mission is. And he's just focused on, I'm just going to give everything to Zhao. You know what, Azula, you go help Zhao. Zhao's going to get an army at some point. You know, you go do all these things now.
Listen, Ozai is like Emperor Palpatine, right?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care about anybody but himself. He doesn't care about
everything's,
you know,
calculated and intentional.
Yep. He's super ripped, super hot.
That's right.
Okay.
He doesn't, he has no interest in really worrying about passing on his power. He doesn't care about that because he's, you know, you can't see that far. Right, there's no future in which he's not this unlimited power. He doesn't care about Zuko.
No.
Like,
also,
really.
Can we admit though that he was right? Because Zuko definitely gives into his compassion and becomes friends with Aang, so he really shouldn't have given him any resources. Like, he kind of accidentally proves his own destiny by not supporting Zuko.
Yeah,
and does support Zhao, who is way more bloodthirsty.
I think Zuko has to realize. You know, there's a lot of lessons that Zuko still has to learn, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, this is the whole point of the mask, right? In the episode called The Mask.
Mm-hmm.
And Iroh's ending line of, you know, like, sometimes we have to realize that the mask that we wear is who we really are.
Yep.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was beautiful.
That was awesome. Iroh narrating the episode, too. Mm.
Yep.
Big fan.
Really worked. Really worked.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Sometimes that they're not, like, some of the narrations feel a little clunky at the start, but now, like, this one, they're in a rhythm now. I feel like they really found it.
Yeah, we got two of them in a row.
They did a good one on the last one, yeah.
I was going to say,
Gyatso was really good. That was a good narration. Gyatso's now we got narration. Another one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's also talk about Aang and Zuko a little bit.
Absolutely.
But before we do that, we do have to thank this week's sponsor of the show. So we'll be right back to talk more about Aang and Zuko in just a second. Hello, friends. We're taking a short break from the show to talk to you about our vibrant Patreon and Discord community, which we call The United. The United is the heart of the Uteniverse, where fans of Star Wars, nerd culture, and even sports unite. It's all about diving deep into the fandoms we love with a spirit of passion and positivity alongside other fans who share those same values. Now on Patreon, you'll find an exclusive world of content. From behind-the-scenes peeks at our YouTube channel productions to ad-free versions of all of our podcasts alongside other insider updates. It's really your all-access pass to what goes on behind the curtain and on the team at Uteni. But the United is more than just content. It's a community. With features designed to bring us closer, we're building a space where every fan has a voice. As we look to the future, your feedback and involvement will shape the direction of the United. So this is really your chance to be part of a community that's at the heart of our mission,
fostering a sense of belonging that's essential for every fan. If you're ready to join the United, head over to our site, utini.com, to find our Discord, or to patreon.com/utini to jump into Patreon. Let's make this community stronger together and dive into a world where your passion for fandom becomes a shared adventure. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, friends, we are back, and I am ready to talk about Aang and Zuko, because this was also another a pretty big difference, I would say, to the animated show, because Kaylin and I...
We just watched it.
You know, Kaylin started that episode about the Blue Spirit, and I caught the very tail end of it, and their conversation in the animated show
is like two sentences.
It's like 2 seconds, right?
Wow, really?
He's unconscious. Zuko's unconscious. So there's the mist. The soldiers are coming at him. Aang runs off. He hesitates. He grabs Zuko. Or the mist disappears. You don't see Zuko or Aang. You're like, okay, they're gone. And it transitions. They're in the woods. Zuko's unconscious. And he's
kind of waking up.
Yeah, kind of waking up. And Aang's like, you think we could have ever been friends? And he has a little tiny little, like, 3 or 4 sentence monologue. Mm-hmm. And there's silence. And Zuko looks at him. And then he throws a fireball at him, and Aang takes off.
Yeah,
that's the end
that
of
was it.
It. That's it. There's no conversation.
Wow, that's right. Talk
about paintbrushes and goat hair and...
Yeah.
I like
it's
the character
thing.
That was fun.
It's really fast.
It was really cute.
Yeah,
I think I liked it better than the animation.
Do you think that Zuko's like obsession with all of the different avatars and like this notebook that he spent all this time on writing? Do you think that this gives him like a feeling of like sympathy or empathy for the avatar? Mm-hmm. Do you think that all his time spent writing in this book is causing him to have these kind of like feelings and more compassion towards Aang because he feels like he understands him?
That's kind of hard. That I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that because I listen to a lot of murder books, and do I feel compassion for the murderers? No, not really. Like, I still see them as the enemy. So, like, I don't know if it's like collecting knowledge about your enemies. I think that's how it feels to me.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's the compassion. I think it's because he knows so much about him. Maybe that opens him up to the conversation because he doesn't need to ask any questions. He's like, oh, I know you. And then when Aang starts talking interpersonally, it's like, oh, hold on. I knew everything about you, but I didn't know this. So maybe that's why he becomes so compassionate so quickly. And also, I mean, they play it super well. Mm-hmm. No one has asked Zuko that before. Like, no one has taken the time, hey, your handwriting's interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
and he answered it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
your pictures are really good.
Yeah.
That was good. And they shared a moment, too.
They
it was
did.
Like, they, like, well, this is when, yeah, they made me, they would let me practice my firebending until I. Yeah.
100 vertical strokes and 100 horizontal strokes.
Yep.
Yeah. And Aang's like, me too, except I wasn't allowed to do something else, whatever he said. Like, it was meditation for me. Like, I couldn't do meditation.
And then I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I fell asleep all the time. Like, that was.
It was really
great.
Cute.
It was really good.
Yeah. That was really. They both played it very well, and I think this is, again, like I said earlier, you see how young Zuko is and how young Aang is, but in a really nice way. Like, the war doesn't exist for a second. They're just kids talking about what they had to do their homework.
Yeah.
And it really is nice.
If it almost feels like we're getting Book 2 Zuko sooner.
Book 2 Zuko?
Basically. Because he's, like, learned a lot, and he's more insightful, and he's, like, learning these lessons from Iroh. He's receptive to Iroh. I don't think he was like that at all in the first book.
Yeah. That's really weird. Sorry, guys. I had a technical glitch. I didn't hear Corey or Alec laugh at Book 2 Zuko, so I think my headphones blipped out for a second, because that was funny.
No, I don't think you missed it.
Yeah, I got choked up, actually.
I'm just wanting to make sure. I want the audience that you guys to know I didn't hear it either, but we know. We all know.
It does seem like we're sort of laying the groundwork for Redemption Zuko, who is a fantastic character in the entire third season of the anime show. We did get a little more Fire Nation in this episode as well, because we got to meet Roku.
This
was another character that the internet is actually quite divisive about.
Really?
I didn't realize this was going to be that divisive, but when doing a little research for the show, it looks like there is a lot of differing opinions on whether or not this version of Roku was, you know, more accurate to the original character. You know, I think the biggest difference is he's pretty chill and friendly, and he was very serious in the original show.
A little, animated Roku is like,
well, and
he's intense.
He's scary.
I think, again, the biggest thing is that we have no mention of when the comet's coming again. Right, yeah. And that's...
It sounds like the. It sounds like maybe the we're not on the Comet timeline in this show. Maybe not.
Yeah, because even Zhao in the animated series has a moment where he's referencing, mm-hmm. like, this is, we are firebenders. He's given a speech, and he's like, you know, this is the year of the comet, and we're going to take it to the Earth Kingdom, and Ba Sing Se's going down. And, you know, we don't have any of that in this, and Roku doesn't mention the comet either. So, I don't know what we're leading to, because, you know, in the animated series, the whole culmination of everything leads to the day of Sozin's comet. You know, that's like the big...
I know.
So
I think this is actually a really good storytelling device. I think we have replaced the storytelling device of Sozin's comet with the characterization of Ozai, actually, because we're slowly learning more and more about how psychopathic Ozai is, like how driven and ambitious and crazy and psycho he is, right? And like, so he's the ticking time bomb now. It's not the comet. It's not the literal time bomb of the comet, right? It's Ozai and like his ambition, and is going to take over the world. And I imagine eventually we will learn about some crazy grand plan of his, and, you know, the Phoenix King, all that stuff, right, was in the animated show. So I don't think we necessarily need the artificial timeline of the comet, like in this show. It works without it so far for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because you were talking about Roku. We were talking about Roku just a second ago. And now we're talking about Ozai. But something that Roku said like really stuck out to me. He said, be careful with your friends. They can be a liability. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me, like, Roku tried to stop Sozin from originally starting this war.
That's right.
So like there's a hidden message here.
They were friends.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were friends. And he seems to take that personally.
Yeah. And I wonder if some of the split on Roku online.
How could you not?
Right. A little bit.
I just. That's all I could do is see MJ's, and I took that personal. Yeah.
I think Roku's purpose in this episode is a little. Is good, but I think because the Zuko Aang stuff is so strong, the Blue Mask stuff is so strong, like when Roku shows up, it's like, okay, you're good. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But Aang's lessons were so strong elsewhere that I think that might be one of the reasons where maybe it doesn't hit as high or doesn't hit like it did in the animated show, because also like they do the swirl and obviously it's CGI, like spirits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like in the animated, you could really like put him on mountains and the spirit, you can kind of do a little more with the abstract. And here it's like, well, he's learning so much just from being around Zuko. Yeah. I think he could get it, you know? So
yeah.
I did like the way that they transitioned this better. It seemed more realistic because, like, in the animated show, Aang exits this temple through Roku. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now we're exiting and everyone's on the floor paralyzed. Yeah. Also, what happened to that fire temple shaman? Like, is he dead? Did he die? Or is he also paralyzed?
I think he's just paralyzed. I thought he was dead. I'm pretty sure he's burned to a crisp,
my guy. I don't know. I don't know how he survived.
Either way.
Yeah.
You're talking about the one that helped
his story.
Him.
Yeah, his story's over.
Him. He was like, "I'm your friend."
That's right. No, he's he's
gone.
He's gone.
Other guys though are paralyzed because love of my life, woman who taught me a lot about myself, decided to come and teach Aang about life things.
Did you dream about being tied up into a cave?
Not that night, because I never had the same dream twice in a row. No, it was June's back, guys.
Yeah, June is back. Yeah,
Eric, you're gonna have to wait till you're old. She's only into old men.
Oh, apparently, dang it. She's like, some of us don't want the world to change because some of us have figured it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I turned to Corey during that section, and I was like, you know what? I actually might be June. If I was in this world and it was like post-war, I think I would just scavenge off of everyone.
Screw everybody.
Yeah, I probably would.
She's the scoundrel. Like, she's the smuggler. Like, these are the cool characters.
Don't choose a side.
You must have a lot of...
Everyone will disappoint you.
Yeah.
That's right. Don't choose a side. They're all
they're all sucky.
She's DJ from Last Jedi. Don't joke.
Right.
Yeah, you just need an all-powerful creature that you can ride... That can smell a rat from a continent away.
I would be so happy.
Yeah.
I would be so happy.
Phrasing.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
100%.
Yeah.
Roku is definitely different than it was in the animated show, and his advice is more of the same, I think. Mm-hmm. That's also kind of interesting. We keep getting more advice from avatars, which is kind of sucky advice, yeah. actually.
You're on your own.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's like you're on your own.
You're on your own, kid. You always have been.
You can't rely on you can't rely on anybody. Like, don't trust your friends as far as you can throw them. Like, the advice is kind of terrible.
Also,
you got to be brutal and
he's
sadistic
Beckett
and
from
kill
Solo.
Him.
Yeah, you're right. He's
totally- the idea that Roku is now living in the spirit world, and he stole this thing from Ko, and like Ko's in the spirit world, and he knows that Ko
yeah,
is Ko is like like taking people and you know he's a predatory spirit is what they keep calling him. And, like, mm-hmm. the only thing that it took to get Ko to stop doing these things was to give him back the thing that you stole from him?
Yeah.
Come on,
why
man.
Why are you doing this?
Okay.
Well,
come on, man.
Because I stole this thing 100 years ago and never gave
I
it
have
back.
It in my
I
head
why did you
right
give
now?
It back to him, man? What have you been doing?
I have it in my head right now that Roku stole Ko's mother's urn.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, he stole the urn. Yeah,
he messed up, Roku.
It's like
he stole his mom.
Roku,
his dead mom.
Well, I didn't want to.
When you die as the Avatar, though, you get like
perks.
No, what's that perks? What? No, I was gonna say
a
you
dead
get
woman.
What's that called when you have to like stay in your house, but you can serve your jail sentence in your house?
House arrest. Forget.
Yeah, he's on. Yeah, house arrest. You're house arrested to your temple when you're an Avatar.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Right?
It.
He's got that ankle.
Can't leave his, you can't. Yeah, you can't leave his temple. Or his
you know what I thought of when. When he made the totem appear and then made it disappear,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's reminded me of like Grand Theft Auto in video games where you can just like pull rocket launchers out of your coat and then another gun. Like his inventory is just something he can always pull from. He's like, oh, it just went back into his like bag slots. I'm like, how much stuff do you have here, Roku?
His sleeve.
I would certainly call the whole little statue thing a bit of a flying cow for me, actually.
Yeah.
Like it's such a storytelling MacGuffin. Like, oh, honestly, yeah. It's like, oh, why? How did he best him? Oh, he didn't. He just took his little statue.
He just stole yeah. something and ran.
Like, all right, no harm, no foul.
Here you can have it back, and now you can go trade it. And
I'll immediately yeah. let all the spirits go I've ever had. It's like, all right, man. Like we were also done with that story point. So great, we can move on. It's fine.
I know.
Also, he let so many people go.
Yeah, it wasn't. Just,
is this just like on good faith? That's why yeah. I was like, is this his mother's ashes? Like, what was it that yeah. he stole?
Sorry, Ko. Oh, it's cool, man. I get it.
Here's your mother back.
Yeah, there's no like additional debt. That he's taken on, it's like as the years have gone.
You know what?
That was 100 years ago, man.
You know what? Ko is weak because he shows compassion. You know,
that is the moral of this.
He
episode.
Needs to be burned. Yeah.
That's to be forget.
Yeah, yeah. Compassion is weakness.
Yeah,
100%.
Very solid, though.
All right.
Very solid.
As we sort of round up this episode, I think we've hit most of the major points that I wanted to talk about. Unless you guys have anything else huge here, I would like to go around and grab our Sokka snacks and MVP for this episode. I can go first. My Sokka snack was the subtle. I was a big fan of the paralysis at the very end. When he comes out of the, it looks like they're all dead, right? He comes out of Roku's mm-hmm. vision or whatever, and it looks like they're all dead. If you remember in the animated show, he came out in a huge burst of fire.
Yeah.
And Roku like burned everybody, and it was crazy and awesome.
Rad.
But and I thought that's what had happened. Like when they, it was a good
yeah.
transition. Like when he comes out of the temple or whatever. Like they're all kind of laying in a circle, just like they were in the mm-hmm. animation. I'm like, did Roku burn them? Does all this happen off screen or whatever?
Yeah.
All this happen off screen, and then he goes to check his pulse or whatever, and he's like paralyzed. He's like, oh snap, they're just paralyzed. And then June appears. That was really cool. I liked
it
a lot.
It was very good.
It felt like how much of the original.
The scent like vision from Nala
yep.
is super dope.
Yes.
Smell a vision.
Yeah, that looked
it was
awesome.
Great.
We got to see it for a second. That was cool. Like, it looked like Alien or Predator or whatever. Like it was pretty cool. Big fan. Sokka snacks. Caitlin, you got one?
I've got one. Okay, mine has to do. It's got to be the 41st. Mm. That ending, the whole plot point wrapping up at the end where Iroh is just like, you have no idea what Zuko sacrificed, and then he like reveals at the end like your whole troop was supposed to die.
Mm.
And Zuko saved you. He's the only reason you're alive. That just like really got me.
That was good. He was like, but we're the 41st.
Yeah. He was still like confused.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, idiot. Yeah. Do you get it?
Yeah, if you were an idiot.
But that's my division. That would be
exactly. That was awesome.
This is why they were going to sacrifice you, you dumbass.
Like, I know. I know. Because he was like, what did he say? He's like, welcome back, your highness.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That
our prince has returned.
Yeah. That was awesome. I got misty eyed during that as well. Alec, you got a soccer stack?
Oh, man. You know, I was going to give it, but I think I'm going to save that one for my MVP. I think my soccer snack honestly is just how dope these effects have been. This episode, the firebending is incredible.
It's really good.
I think the earthbending might be my favorite, but I'm a little biased. But I think the visual of fire, I don't know what special effect that they've developed in the last like 5 years of television and movies, but I've never seen fire look that cool.
It looks really good. I totally agree. Yeah, we've not talked a lot about the special effects on the show, but for a Netflix show or one of these streaming shows in general, they're pretty dang good, I would say.
Yeah. For as many as they have to do, like there's so many. The volume of effects per episode is easily, you want to look at this compared to like a Stranger Things, which has some, like, probably 10, 20 times the amount of visual effects you need.
I'm honestly okay trading not being able to see, you know, like Appa and Momo as much to get some of these effects, because I know that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Trying to balance. So
completely agree.
Yeah. Eric, what about you? Soccer snack?
My soccer snack is going to be two little snacks. One is what I mentioned earlier, just the sound and motion of that arrow hitting Zuko in the face with the mask. It was so well done, and it was just like, ow! Like I thought that was a really nice earnest moment. And then the kind of cool like back to back fight of Zuko and the mask and Aang on the wall, where it was like spinning around, and Aang does an airbending to circle around. And
oh yes!
It's like I love a good back to back fight.
Dude, they're such a good team. 100%. They're such a good team.
So, no.
They were.
And when Aang threw that huge like air thing and knocked everybody backwards, and Zuko had the swords and they shot the sparks out when he had to hold himself, that was the coolest
was
shit
great.
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was so dope.
and I also like in that moment that they had Zuko being like, like they in the animated show, you really don't know who that is for a second. They never pretended it wasn't Zuko. I felt like it was kind of very obvious in this one, and I'm glad they just leaned into that. So that was those are my snacklets, my little nibbles.
You know, one small, it's not really a soccer snack, but it's an Easter egg, I guess you could say. We had a mention of Kuzan, Aang's friend from the Fire Nation. That was in the original show as well.
Sentences that he said.
Yeah, he said in one of the two sentences, he's like, I had a friend Kuzan in the Fire Nation. We were good friends, and I wonder if I had known you back then, would we have been friends as well? That's what he says in the anime show, and I like that they kept that in there, Kuzan. We got to meet Kuzan way later on in the animated show.
Yeah, and he's goofy.
There was like one. Wow. He's goofy as hell.
Well, he's Aang's friend. He had to be goofy. You know what I mean?
Also, his name's Kuzan, so I mean, you know, it's a pretty goofy sounding name.
You got to live with what you got.
That's right. That's right. If we have any Kuzans listening to the show, I apologize, but I really doubt it. Just statistically,
you're probably kind of goofy, and that's fine.
Yeah, you know what? I give an honorable mention here? Is the cut from Zuko, like the cut from old Zuko to new Zuko when they just morph it? Oh, dude, I wrote that down. I'm like, oh, that is so freaking cool.
Really fun.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really, really good. Yeah. It goes from pre-burned to cooked, toasted.
Wow, Corey. Wow.
Yeah. All right, MVP for this episode, for me, without a doubt, is Zuko. I mean,
what are we doing here? Come on.
Yeah.
Man,
Alec, you got a weird face going on right now. What are you gonna do?
Well, look, there's obvious ones, but I like to have a little bit of parody here. So I'm gonna give mine to sassy ass Zhao and his until then, carry on. You know, just carry on doing whatever it is you do, Mr. Prince of Fire, because I'm in charge now. And I'm going to make some personnel changes.
Funny. All right. So Zuko, with an honorable mention to Zhao's sassy hand.
Yeah.
I would also like to give a honorable mention to the 41st Division guy.
Lieutenant Lee. It's funny, dude. He was fired up at the beginning.
He was like, that, not my prince. Yeah. I like, not my prince. My jaw dropped. I was like, oh.
It's like, yeah, I know. That was a good line. Yeah. He delivered that well, too. The,
he did. He's very believable.
Yeah, the thing in there where Iroh says, oh, he must have missed you at music night. That's a callback to the animated show. And if I remember correctly, I think in the animated show, he references that you miss Lieutenant G's riveting love song or something. G sings romantic songs, you know, during music night.
I don't think that was this episode, but he does talk. That does ring a bell. But we just watched that, and the only thing he says to him as soon as you get back in the boat is, "We miss you at music night." And he's wearing this big goofy tuba looking thing.
Iroh is.
He's wearing like a tuba. We miss you at music night. It's so random.
Yeah. Well, I like that. I didn't do my research, so I don't know this for sure, but typically in this show, when you're hearing like a particular instrument being played over like the course of the episode or like a scene, they will work in the actual like musical instrument into the show. So I think what he's playing, in the animated show is like what was making the soundtrack behind all those scenes.
That's really cool.
That's clever.
Yeah. Banger. I mean, top to bottom. Banger episode. Mm-hmm. Best one of the series. Yeah. It's rated the highest on IMDb. And like IMDb is like, yeah, whatever. But this one, I'm like, okay, yeah. No. Well then, everybody. This is the one they really locked in on.
I totally agree. This was a huge amount of fun. And I had a blast with it. And I think that is going to do it for this week's episode of the Utini Avatar Show. If you're looking for other fun shows, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Utini Network. I do want to shout out a special thank you to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, Raymond Bozinski on our High Council, and James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, and Chris Carrizo at our Captain Tier. Thank you guys for your amazing support. Let's keep the party going and hop over into Discord. We do have a channel over there, Avatar Netflix, where we can chat up the show, talk about how awesome this episode was. Special shout-outs to our behind-the-scenes folks, Kyle, for making us sound good, my fellow host for juggling all the things, and Wes for the Utini Network support. All right, that's going to do it. Keep exploring, keep sharing, and let's keep having a great time together with this fun show. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys. Support for this show and all Utini Network podcasts comes from the United Patreon community. At the heart of the Utiniverse, the United is where our most passionate fans gather to deepen their journey through the worlds of Avatar, Star Wars, and the broader universe of nerd culture and sports. By joining the United on Patreon, you gain access to an exclusive realm filled with content that takes you behind the scenes of our YouTube channel, provides ad-free listening of all of our podcasts, and offers regular insider updates. More than just a content hub, United is a vibrant community. Through organized events, we create connections, fostering a space where every voice is heard and valued. By becoming part of the United, you're not just supporting us, you're enhancing a community dedicated to celebrating and exploring our passions together. To start your journey, visit patreon.com/utini. Together, we can build a stronger community, united by our love for these incredible fandoms. Thank you for your support, and remember, the adventure continues in every episode of The Avatar Show and across all Utini Network podcasts.